Have you ever noticed how signs are designed to make you look in their direction? Whether through a striking image or compelling colors, a good sign draws in our attention, it captures our gaze, and hopefully, well, at least they hope so, some of our very lives as well. Right now, my kids are somehow captivated by the Waffle House sign. And the Target sign is literally a target, like aim here, come here, and spend your money here. You know, Jesus has given us signs as well. Deeper, more beautiful signs. Jesus has given us sacraments as a way to draw our gaze to God's direction, to orient our lives to God's divine love and grace. A sacrament is an outward and visible sign that uses ordinary elements like water, bread, juice, to communicate God's extraordinarily generous grace and love. In short, sacraments capture our gaze, draw in our attention, and hopefully our very lives as well. We recognize and celebrate the sacraments of baptism and Holy Communion. In fact, every Sunday here we celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion. And as I stand with the bread and cup every Sunday, I repeat the words found in Scripture that Jesus said. Jesus took bread. He blessed it. He broke it. He gave it to his disciples. Taken, blessed, broken, given. What if those words aren't just tied to the sacrament of communion, but also summarize our life as followers of Jesus? Taken, blessed, broken, given. What if we are supposed to be a kind of living sacrament? People who live generous lives that direct others toward God. When we live in the truth that God has claimed us, taken, when our ordinary lives become vessels of blessing through gratitude, blessed, when God's light shines through our brokenness, broken, and when we give ourselves away to the world in love, given, we become an ordinary way that others see and experience God's extraordinary, generous love. How amazing is that? So over the next four Sundays, we're going to be looking at these four words, taken, blessed, broken, given, as the framework for living lives that point to God, just like the bread and the cup. And today we begin with taken. Let us pray. Almighty God, pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here in this place. Open our hearts and minds to your word for us this day, that we might truly hear and receive what you have to say to us and might respond in ways that are in keeping with your kingdom. This we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 15. Verses 12 through 17, listen for God's word. This is my commandment, love each other just as I have loved you. No one has greater love than to give up one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I don't call you servants any longer because servants don't know what their master is doing. Instead, I call you friends because everything I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you could go and produce fruit, and so that your fruit could last. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. When something is taken, right, it gets closer to the one doing the taking. If I take a cookie from a cookie jar, it's going to be closer to me very quickly. When someone is chosen, the one who is chosen moves closer to the one doing the choosing. If I choose someone to be on my team, that person is going to be closer to me in some sense to in order to work or to play together. When Jesus sits down with his disciples to share a meal and he takes bread, it means that he chooses the bread. He chooses to hold the bread and to bring it closer to him. The bread is taken. Now, it doesn't sound strange to talk about an object being taken, but what about us? The truth is, we are taken too. Just like Jesus takes bread and brings it closer to him, Jesus chooses us. We are chosen by Jesus. Jesus reminds his followers and us of this in the gospel lesson this morning. Jesus is near the end of his ministry. Earlier, Jesus and the disciples had shared in an evening meal where Jesus had washed his disciples' feet and told them that this was the example and the pattern that they were to follow as well, this pattern of service. And then Jesus begins to teach them in a kind of farewell sermon or discourse that he's going to leave them, that he's going to return to his Father in heaven, but he's not going to leave them alone or orphaned. The Holy Spirit will come. He tells them to remain in his love and to love each other just as he had loved them. And then, as we heard in our gospel lesson, he elaborates on the just as I have loved you. It's a sacrificial love. Jesus says no one has greater love than to give up one's life for one's friends. It's a sharing love because Jesus calls them friends, not servants, friends with whom he shares about his special relationship with his Father. And it's a claiming love. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to bear fruit, fruit that would last. I chose you. I selected you. I picked you out. I chose you. Jesus said, and Jesus still whispers to the depths of our hearts and souls. Do you hear that? Jesus claims us. Jesus chooses us. You are chosen. This is who God is. Throughout the Bible, God always goes first. God is always the loving initiator in the relationship. God breathes life into dust to create human beings. God chooses Abraham and his family to enter into a special relationship with. God chooses Moses. God chooses David. God chooses Mary. God goes first. Jesus walks beside the Sea of Galilee and beside a tax booth and says to fishermen and a tax collector, follow me. Jesus steps into our lives before our first words and begins to say, I want you and I love you. Long before your parents admired you, long before your grandmother pinched your cheek, long before your friends acknowledged what you were good at, long before you had the opportunity to achieve or fail, long before your teachers or your coaches encouraged you, long before you started worrying about what other people thought of you, long before you were picked or not picked for a job or for a team, Jesus was already whispering, I choose you. You're precious in my sight. You matter. You have eternal value. God is always the initiator in the relationship. God's love is a claiming love. You have been seen by Jesus as a special person. Jesus wants to know you, to come closer to you, to love you. That's powerful. There is something universally powerful about being chosen. Every person on the planet, deep down, wants to be accepted, wants to be loved, wants to be chosen. Everyone wants to be chosen, whether it's at recess or at work or in our relationships. Being chosen, after all, is key to establishing our own self-worth. Just go back to the playground or the ball field or the studio. Do you remember what it felt like to be picked? Incredible. Do you remember what it felt like not to be chosen, be rejected, left out? Defeating. To be chosen by God as beloved, as Catholic priest and spiritual leader Henry Nouwen puts it, is a compassionate choice, not a competitive choice. It's a compassionate choice, not a competitive choice. When I choose someone from my soccer team, it's a competitive choice. When Jesus chooses us, it's a compassionate choice. Jesus doesn't need a competitive advantage. He's got that already. He's Jesus. No, Jesus claims and chooses compassionately. With Jesus, this isn't a, well, if I choose you over here, oh, there won't be room for you type of situation. His gracious choice doesn't exclude anyone as being less valuable, but accepts others in their uniqueness. And when we know that we're loved, that we're accepted, that we're chosen, we are free to be the very best version of ourselves, the person that God created us to be. We're not distracted or bogged down by trying to earn others' approval or to outcompete everyone to make it to the top. We're not self-absorbed or self-hating. We don't have to put on a mask. We do not over-garnish our lives with material possessions. We are able to love others freely because we have already been loved. We're able to operate from a place of compassion, not competition. Our lives are able to shine brightly forth from the inside out like a sign directing others to God. I'm reminded of some of the glow-in-the-dark toys that my kids have. You know, the kind that you will probably get at every party you ever go to, the party favors or the prizes. Of course, the good trick to really help them glow in the dark is to hold them close to a light for a few minutes or so. And then, when you take them into a dark room, they glow more brightly and they hold their glow even longer. I wonder if it's like that with our chosenness and our ability to live as a sacrament, our lives directing others to God. When we embrace, when we trust the truth that we are compassionately chosen by Jesus, our lives glow. We become more radiant for God in the world. We become more radiant because we're embracing our belovedness and therefore the one who chose us, and turning toward the source. It is no accident that Jesus speaks of loving others in the same breath as reminding us that we are chosen. There's a profound connection between knowing ourselves to be claimed or chosen by God and being people of compassion and generous love. Jesus said that he chose us and appointed us to bear fruit that would last. The way that fruit lasts is that if it's healthy and comes from a healthy tree. A tree is healthy if it has roots in good soil. Jesus himself bore loving fruit that lasted because he was deeply rooted in his chosenness by his heavenly Father. He knew that his worth ultimately came from that and not from the glory of the crowd's praise. Our compassionate chosenness by Jesus is the soil from which our lives can produce the loving fruit that will last and that the world needs. When we lose touch with our chosenness, with our belovedness, we lose our radiance. We stop glowing. We become suffocated by self-rejection, and our ability to direct others toward God like a blazing sign gets overshadowed by the dark voices telling us that we're nothing special. We're just another person among billions of people. We have to do more. We have to be more to be wanted. When we embrace that we are claimed, chosen, taken, our lives are oriented toward compassion and not competition. Our lives are not our own, and we do not have to do in order to be loved. When we discover our chosenness by God, we have a desire to help others discover and be reminded of theirs. When we claim our chosenness and belovedness and live in light of the fact that Jesus said, I want you, I love you, we become bright lights shining in the world for people to see and come to experience that same claim on their lives too. We are able to point others to God with our lives and say, hey, your preciousness, your uniqueness, your worth are not given to you by the people or the things who meet you in the years between when you take your first and your last breath, but by God, the one who has chosen all of us with eternal, perfect love. Look in that direction, friend. With a compassion rooted in being compassionately chosen, we get to say to those struggling or hurting or feeling rejected, these things, these feelings that you feel are strong, but they are ultimately not telling you the truth about yourself. Look in God's direction. Even if you can't feel it right now, you are precious in God's eyes and held in love. Jesus took bread in his hands. He chose it. Pretty ordinary bread, and yet incredibly special to Jesus. Something that would go on to point beyond itself to an extraordinary God. Jesus likewise takes us, chooses us. Pretty ordinary folks, and yet infinitely precious and special to Jesus. You and I are already loved and already chosen. You and I have already been seen as a special person. You and I have already been noticed. You and I are not just another face in the crowd. You and I are not the last thing on God's mind, but the first thing. Always, all of us, all at once, in a beautiful, too hard to understand mystery, are the first thing on God's mind. When we embrace that truth, no matter how hard it is to do sometimes, when we hear Jesus say, I choose you, and we truly acknowledge with every fiber of our being that we are chosen and beloved of God, our very lives become radiant. We glow. And hopefully others begin to look in God's direction as we point the way. Maybe they start to shine too. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.